Everybody, welcome to the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast number 65. Today we're going to go through, just talk about the box office numbers a little bit. We are going to do a quick little review on The Runaways. Then we're going to get into some geek news. We're going to talk about God of War 3. We are going to discuss Chris Evans' possible role in Captain America. And a few other geek items of information that you will probably want to hear us talk about, because that's what we do. Why don't we go around and introduce everybody on the panel today? Dr. Venkman.
Mazer.
Abe Froman.
Ben P. And we've got a special guest joining us today, a friend of mine from out of town.
What's up? I'm P. Vader.
Nice.
P. Vader. Yeah, yeah.
P to the V, dude.
All right.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, so box office numbers. Number one this week, Alice in Wonderland at $34.1 million. Now, what this means is that Jennifer Aniston's The Bounty Hunter didn't get number one.
That's interesting that you refer to it as Jennifer Aniston's The Bounty Hunter as opposed to Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler's in this?
Wait, what? You're joking.
There's posters all over LA, guys.
Yeah, but isn't it like the actual Bounty Hunter from Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. I did see
Boba
that.
Fett?
That picture, that was amusing. It was a pretty simple Photoshop, but I don't know why I didn't think of it first. Honestly.
I don't know why Sony didn't think of it first. Because had they thought of it first, they would have had a really good movie on their hands.
Jennifer Aniston time travels or something back into the galaxy far away.
I don't
know.
But they would have made a lot more money had that been an actual movie.
I'll buy that.
I would have saw it.
Me too.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid also beat out The Bounty Hunter.
Yay!
I've actually heard, I've been hearing a lot of good reviews on the Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
It's got kick-ass's Chloe Moretz.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how big of a role she has, but I know she's in it.
I don't
know.
Well, it's based on a beloved book, so.
A beloved book?
A beloved book. Yeah.
Beloved.
It's like a B-movie on a beloved book.
Yeah, beloved.
Okay. I've never read it.
I've never read it either.
Thank God
I've
for
only heard
kids,
of it.
Man.
I've only heard of it.
Kids are just
reading books. And...
No, kids are just like, dude, F Gerard Butler. That's what they're thinking going to this movie. They're like, get my popcorn, get my Slurpee on, F Gerard Butler.
I want to see a Diary of a Wimpy Kid this weekend. And that's what happened. The kids prevailed. Yeah, Bounty Hunter came in number 3, $20 million. And Repo Man came in at number 4 at $6 million.
It's a huge drop off.
$6 million. I thought for sure Repo Man
it was
would
getting a
do...
big push.
It was getting a big push, and
it looks terrible. Let's be clear.
Somebody's coming out and saying,
"But yeah." But let's seriously. Though.
Well, you look at the cast, and you're like, "This could kind of be cool if they had gone in kind of like a very sci-fi intellectual way,
like if they didn't rip off a bunch of other movies."
Yeah, if they had gone into something. But then they tried to make this action layer on top of it. But it's like, okay, you're going action.
It was
but
like surrogates in that.
Yeah, but then but it was like, wait, this action layer is super thin and looks super cheesy. I'm cutting back on cheesy this week. Yeah, it's bad.
Everyone cut back on cheesy this week because it didn't make any money this week.
Well, for
no, mind you, I wouldn't mind having $6 million in my bank account. Yeah. Still, $6 million for opening weekend. On a film that cost $32 million to make.
Yeah,
come on, people.
Just an odd pairing, too. Forest Whitaker and Jude Law.
Yeah, what is Forest Whitaker doing?
I thought for sure Repo Man would take out the Bounty Hunter, though.
What is Forest Whitaker
doing?
But I
guess not.
He puts the holes in the trees. I don't know if you saw it. I put the holes in the trees.
Well, was it you? Someone pointed out that in the trailer, Jude Law has an English accent.
Your wife. Your wife. It was
my
your wife.
Okay, she went out. He has an English accent, and then Forrest Whitaker does not. Yet they grew up together as kids. Makes no sense.
Well, they say they grew up together. Maybe they you know, they
maybe they grew up school. Together like online, right? Because these days and in the future, kids are making friends all over the world.
You sound you sound serious right now, and I know you're joking. So I just want to clarify that he's joking, just so people aren't like, "What is this guy talking about?"
So, yeah, Green Zone came in at number 5, dropped to $6.1 million. So that's not making any money.
It's already a weak opening.
Universal.
For a $100 million budgeted film, it only opened at $14 million. Now it's down to 6.
Yeah, so far, it's only made $24.8 million. So
not good. Not what Universal wanted, that's for sure.
Definitely not what Universal wanted. They would have been all better off doing Bourne 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is the thing. They tried to advertise it as if it was Bourne 4.
And that's
it
the problem. And that's the problem.
If they had made it feel like more like a political thing. Well,
that's the thing. When talking to people, I heard a lot of people were turned off by the politicalness of the
movie.
Because
they
felt they were being preached to about something that happened a long time ago, you know, that it was being brought up again or something like that. You know? But
yeah, but when I get that, but the fact that we still have soldiers there, it's like, it's not,
well,
not that
sure.
far. It's not that far removed.
Yeah. Like, I agree, yeah. But that's just the
if
vibe.
We were out of
that's
there,
the vibe that yeah. That's when talking yeah. to people, that's what people have been telling me. Like, I know people that won't go see it for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't get it. So, Greg Kinnear, he died, but Ricky Gervais can see him. But only Ricky Gervais can see him. No?
This is Ghost Town 2 or something.
Ghost Town 2 in the Green Zone.
But he still has his BlackBerry, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Lord. I think the eagle from The Proposal stole it.
So that's pretty much the box office numbers. Nearly no point talking about the rest because really
they've
nothing
been out
else.
For a while.
They've been out for a while. Nothing that, else
or
coming out.
Limited release is Hubble 3D, which I want to go see.
Oh,
I've
yeah,
got to go see
it's
that.
Only, right now, it's only playing at the California History and Science Museum.
I will wait to see
You know where you used to go on field trips as kids?
That's the real IMAX, though.
That's the real IMAX. That's the real IMAX.
You should go. How far of a drive is that?
Yeah, but
it's
they
not very
the one
far.
In
Universal City Walk. I don't know. This is just our own. Yeah. You guys are listening
like
to all
that
the
one.
I don't like it either. It's funky.
We're getting into a debate about local IMAX.
Yes. You have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. If you live outside of LA.
You live
okay.
outside of LA.
And hold for edit.
No. Yeah. So, it's not played at the one up at the
Burbank 16.
Burbank 16, though. So, okay. Your only option right now is to go to the history.
It might be worth it, though, because
it
looks it really
is
going to
be worth it. And since you've never been
I haven't.
There.
I haven't.
Maybe we should take a field trip.
Let's set it up, dude.
It's like a geek time field trip.
Have you been to a real IMAX theater?
Yeah,
okay.
Once. But, you know.
Not the Limax theaters?
Let's just label it what it the digital IMAX
right.
theaters.
Yeah.
It's digital.
Bullcrap,
and it looks good.
It's pretty good.
It looks good.
Pretty good.
It's an upgrade. It's right in between an IMAX and a regular movie theater experience. 4K projectors, two 4K projectors. It does not make it 8K,
yeah.
Which is what IMAX is. Minimum theoretical, it should be 11K, but
yeah.
We don't need to get into the specifics.
Regardless of the K,
that's
Mazur,
our tech guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we talk about The Runaways? Who's seen it? I have.
I love how you raise your hand as if they can see it. you and me saw this at Sundance.
We did.
My name is Shuri, and my life was ready for a change.
It really looks terrible.
Good.
It all started with Joan.
I'm Joan Jett. I want to start an all-girl rock band.
Once we met.
We love your look. We are choosing you to be a part of rock and roll history.
We did what no one else thought we could do.
You know how many bands think they're going to make it?
Well, excuse me if I don't want to work at the Puffin Fries for the rest of my life. People said we were a bad influence.
Open up, you filthy varmint.
But who are they to tell us that?
What is this? It ain't baby shampoo.
We were about to make rock and roll history.
We did it.
Mercury Records.
We got signed.
Anybody else?
So, Abe and Venkman. No.
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 Does anyone plan to see it?
No.
No.
Not really.
No.
Why?
Yes,
see last week's episode for why that's funny.
The trailer looks like I might want to watch this film, but I don't want to watch this film. I just don't. I don't know, something about it just feels very, it doesn't feel authentic to me for some reason.
That is the biggest problem I had with it, is the fact that, for I don't know how to get into it. Well, The Runaways, it's the Kristen Stewart, Dakota Fanning biopic about the band The Runaways.
The Runaways.
Yeah.
And Joan Jett.
Joan Jett. And Sheree Curry. It's based off Sheree Curry's memoirs, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And music video director Floria Sigismondi.
Right.
Yep.
She did a couple Bowie videos. She did The Beautiful People, I think, the Marilyn Manson, I believe.
Okay.
And but that's how a lot of the film felt. Like a
glorified music. It was a pretty weak structured film altogether. Yeah. I mean, Froman and I talked about it, and it was like, how long were The Runaways? And the movie takes place
over a span of, it's close to a decade from beginning to end.
Okay,
like their careers. It was, you know, they were only a band for like 2-3 years, something like that. But it takes place over, I think, about like, I'd say 8 years, but close to a decade.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was like, it seemed like it took, like that was a summer fling. That was a summer band fling, you know?
Hey, remember last summer when we were really big and we went to Japan?
And I OD'd on drugs in the elevator? That was cool. Yeah, so it was disappointing. The performances were all fine. Kristen Stewart, she bit her lip. And
did she put her hair behind her ear?
Ooh, I don't remember.
Michael Shannon, that's the reason.
Michael Shannon was awesome, but he
plays Kim Fowley, the producer slash brains behind.
Best part of the film by far was Michael Shannon.
Oh yeah,
he was amazing in it. The guy is like really coming up, being a really strong actor in Hollywood. What's kind
of funny is the film had a higher rating going in before this weekend, and now since it's come out, it's the tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes has gone down to like 63%.
63% is still good for Rotten Tomatoes, but it shouldn't have.
It used to be like an 80%.
I don't know who's liking this film. Know. That's the problem.
Guys are like seeing a 15-year-old Dakota Fanning in lingerie.
Why don't we talk about that for a minute? Why don't we talk about 15-year-old Dakota Fanning in lingerie?
Are we legally allowed to talk about that? I think I see that Predator sniper rifle appearing on your forehead right now.
It was really weird.
Did that feel like it felt weird? Like produced like planned out? Like
it was like this. It was like, hey, this would be the perfect movie to get Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning together and have them make out,
which they did, which the characters did do in real life.
Yeah. Well, no, that's fine.
Yeah,
I understand that, but she's 15 when she made the film, and it's just weird.
How'd like to make out with a bunch of older guys and Kristen Stewart?
But it was really weird sitting in the theater watching Dakota Fanning up on screen.
Yeah, there's just something about you. You're just so, you have just an image of her.
Literally, we knew her when she first started acting. Yeah. When she was just a kid,
a little tot, as I'd say,
a little tater tot, you know. And now she's, how old is she now?
I think she's like 16, 17 now, but when she filmed it, she was 15.
Yeah.
She's portraying a 16-year-old, and...
And they dress her up.
We were talking about...
some of the craziest...
We were talking to our friend from Joe Blow, like, right after we saw it at Sundance. She's just like, there's a lot that happens to a girl from 15 to 16. You know, like, just physically, and not in, like, a weird, perverted way or anything, but there's just... Physically, there's something that happens, but to put Dakota Fanning in the kind of outfit she was in, and in the kind of... sexual context that she was put in is very weird.
Now, if you look, she is not a regular 15-year-old.
She has been raped on screen.
Yeah,
that's true.
But if you look at the pictures between her and the actual person, it's like they
could have cast a lot older.
They should have cast someone that looked older.
Yeah,
you know. But they didn't, so we gotta live with Dakota Fanning's.
Isn't the '70s
up on screen?
teenagers in the '70s look a lot older than teenagers do now.
I know, right?
Like you look at I remember like being in high school and like looking at the old like 1940s, 1950s like football teams. Like those are men. Like how old were these dudes? But it's like no, they're like 16, 18-year-olds.
All right. Well, how about the concert stuff, like the music part of it. Was it like have you guys seen
cast recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It was good. It was good.
I heard somebody saying that they preferred the cast recordings to the actual.
I did because I was like, oh, that sounds really good. I was like, is that the real band? And we listened to the real band. And was like, oh my gosh, the cast recording has so much more energy and performance in it, and it has a really well, obviously produced now. But it just has a feeling that was really, really good. I was like, I was really impressed. And then when you look, you listen to it, you're like, that is her voice.
Yeah, Dakota Fanning's voice.
Yeah, that's her voice. But you don't realize it till.
Well, Abe Froman has that tour, has that experience touring the country, like playing in an actual rock band. So how like authentic was the movie in that regard? You know, in those aspects.
And I've played with Joan Jett, it's kind of funny story. Someone kind of in the know told us that like Joan Jett, we used to like yell at Kristen Stewart, like make her cry on the set because she wasn't being quote unquote hardcore.
Really?
But yeah, Joan Jett, she's a freaking legend now. Yeah. You know, and like if someone's portraying her, they better do it right.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember, you know, when I played with her, like I remember sound checking, and she was literally like 5 feet behind me, and I'm just going, "This, please stop staring at me, Joan Jett. Please stop staring." she's super nice. She's so good. But like, I think as for someone who toured as much as I did back in the day, a couple years ago, I don't think they got the downtime as much. You know, if you're doing a tour, especially a tour of their size, there's so much downtime where you do stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I don't think they really should.
And that's where the fun stuff comes from. That's where all your good stories come from. From the downtime.
Yeah. And they could have shown that, but they kind of brushed over. That's what made it feel so much like, oh, these tours, like a week long.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, there's these, like, these, they had these grueling tours that they spent in, like, a van and a car. And, like, they could have really shown what it was.
Exactly.
To be on the road for girls, an all girl rock band, the first to break into that arena.
Yeah, especially when you have an advisor like Joan Jett. Yeah, on the film. That's weird.
And there's been movies like That Thing You Do and like Almost Famous and stuff that have shown that kind of thing with guy bands you know, before.
But those were ones that showed a summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally a summer.
That's true.
And it did it well, though, too.
Yeah. But, and then you have other films like, I think, the Jim Morrison one with Val Kilmer's Doors, and you had, like, Walk the Line. You have these other ones that kind of span more time.
Yeah. Right. Decades.
Yeah.
Well, at least for the Walk the Line one.
Yeah,
and that one you felt time. Definitely, you felt time.
Oh, yeah, that movie went on forever.
That was a good flick.
So, I don't recommend.
Yeah.
I can't go out and say, go out and see this movie.
I think
because
it's good. When it opens wide, I think it'll do all right. And unless enough, like, Twilight girls see it and it's limited release go.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Should be interesting to see what the crowd reacts when it does open wide, but I'd say we wait for DVD if you even want to watch it. So.
Yeah, just as far as the biopic goes,
I'm interested to see what the rest of the cast recorded album sounds like, because I'm actually I like that music. So.
Yeah, I find myself listening to the Walk the Line soundtrack more than I would like Johnny Cash stuff, like the real Johnny Cash stuff. Like after all, I was like, yeah, that's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I recommend go seeing Walk the Line. Chris Evans.
All right. Yeah. So late last week, news broke that Marvel offered the role of Captain America to actor Chris Evans. Chris Evans played the Human Torch on Fantastic Four.
A.K.A. Johnny Storm.
Johnny Storm!
Slipped into an announcer voice right there. That was good.
And now he's going to possibly play Captain America. If he accepts the offer.
Yeah, he has a couple conflicts.
He does have a couple conflicts that may stop him from taking the role of Captain America. So I guess they're trying to work that all out. Chances are he wants to do it. He'd be stupid not to take the part.
You're just guessing.
I'm just guessing.
Okay.
I think he wants it, but I think right now the reason why we haven't had a confirmation yet is because he's looking to move things around to see if he can work it out with the other studios.
What's a long term
possible
thing?
Work it out with Marvel?
Possibly nine
up to nine films. The actor that takes the role only gets like what was it, $300,000 just for this movie. Not a lot in terms of acting, but you look at it's an investment opportunity.
Yeah. Marvel makes things on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, not that it looks like it, but they pinch.
Well, they're an independent studio.
And they're young, too. They just started, so.
Yeah.
They got to do what they gotta do.
I don't know. You know, looking at when we posted it, some of the comments were just kind of, some of our readers were just like,
I could see their,
I don't think anyone was really happy, like 100% happy with it.
I think a lot of people's reactions were like, well, I guess, you know, out of everybody else I guess mentioned lately, and I guess he's all right.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not how it should be, though. No. You shouldn't be shrugging your shoulders off on a character what did I say? Shrugging?
Shrugging. You should not be shrugging your shoulders.
You should not be shrugging your shoulders. So,
Do you smoke my cigarette?
I think it's a great choice. I'm like, happy about it. I don't know. From what you're saying, like, people aren't psyched. I don't know. I think you're right. I think that's the general consensus, is that people aren't gung-ho about it. But I think he was the best out of any of the choices. I know you wrote up an editorial about how you thought John Krasinski was better for the part. But at that point, Evans hadn't even been in the
He wasn't even in the picture.
Well, Evans, I should know, Evans is the only person out of all, like, the big names mentioned lately who hasn't screen test.
Yeah.
They're screen test Dane Cook, but they haven't screen test this guy who they're offering the role to. So they obviously have a lot of faith that he can pull this role off.
Well, just look at his performance in Sunshine. He plays this very... he plays an astronaut who's very realistic about the decisions that have to happen. But he has a very kind of connectable performance. Because the stuff he does in the film, you could really hate him for in Sunshine.
Yeah.
But you actually like his character.
That's the only film I've really liked him, his performance in.
And that was on the production of Sunshine. Danny Boyle said, if I was doing a film on a film production of Othello, I would cast Chris Evans as Iago. Now that is a big...
Why would Iago? It's a parrot. Why would you want Iago?
But that's a big endorsement from a very good director.
Yeah.
And he said he's a hungry actor. He just hasn't had the right roles.
Yeah.
But that's...
I think I'm paraphrasing somewhere on that last
part. You know, he
has an English accent.
Oh, yeah. You're right. He hasn't... I think, like I said, Sunshine was the best role I think he's taken.
I heard he was good in Cellular.
He was decent in Cellular.
Yeah.
I actually liked him.
I've seen it.
He's funny in that Not Another Teen Movie film. Yeah, he's very good at spoofing. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
We're bringing that up.
You're going to bring that up?
Yeah. That's going back in the vault.
There's a movie called London that he did with...
It's a forbidden vault.
With Jason Statham and Jessica Biel that was really good. So you guys should check that one out. It's more of an indie thing. But he was really solid in that. Like, I think he's... Yeah, he probably hasn't found the best roles for his career yet. But I think he's immensely charming, very charismatic. You know, he's a good-looking guy. Like, you know, he's talented. He's got, you know... He is Captain America.
I think Jeremy.
Yeah, give me his number.
Jeremy Renner. Like, where was he before Hurt Locker?
Right, he was in the back row of SWAT from 2003.
Yeah, which is funny because during the Oscars, it's like you brought out
Colin Farrell.
You brought out Colin Farrell because he's talking about because it had to work on SWAT.
Had to be an Oscar nominee. doing the introductions.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe this is it. You know, maybe this is the part that's going to launch his career, where people actually take him more seriously as an actor.
Yeah.
I don't know, but at the same time, even though I think about that, and I know he's done good stuff,
well, I don't know.
I'm on the part where I'm still just
I don't know if any actor's performance in a comic book film would make them go, you know what, we're giving you this Oscar. I think it's more like his name won't be known.
Yeah. I forgot who it was. I think it might have been Alex Ross who brought this up very recently, who talked about his choice would have been John Hamm.
Oh yeah, he said hands down, mm-hmm. if anyone plays him, it'd be John Hamm.
And the
main, he has this, what do you say, he had the stature and
he does.
Well, the main thing is the fact that in the Avengers, Captain America, he's the patriarch of the Avengers. And
yes.
So to look at all these young actors or these actors who don't have the gravitas of, say, of, you know, he throws out John Hamm as his choice, but to have that gravitas, it's
to be able to lead a group of superheroes,
yeah.
including Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark. Like,
yeah.
you've got to have, you know, you've got to take that into account.
Yeah, and it's looking at what the character starts as and not what the character becomes.
Yeah.
So, that's like just reading that, I'm like, no, I don't think Evans is that good
for what the role will entail in all these other films.
Yeah.
For this film, fine. But unless he can just all of a sudden, like, he just brings the thunder.
He's got to bring the thunder.
I think Thor's going to bring the thunder. Yes, but.
And that is great casting. Yeah. Who they have
I remember,
for that.
Yeah, like, when Chris Hemsworth was cast, and I had to be reminded of who Chris Hemsworth was, was in the Star Trek film and in The Perfect Getaway.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my, it's like that aha, like, oh, that's totally the guy. Of course. Or when Robert Downey Jr. was cast in Iron Man, you're like, of course.
But at first, I mean, that was for, like, us. But when Robert Downey Jr. was first cast, people were turned off by it. They're like, yeah, well, he's too old. He gotta be Tony Stark. You know, it's like, but after they saw him, though, everyone loved it.
Yeah.
And this may be one of those cases again where it's like people are just kind of like, I don't know. He's not my favorite choice for to play Captain America, but you know. Yeah, and then after they see it, maybe they'll be like, okay, yeah, he worked.
Yeah.
But until we see that, we won't know.
Well, our friend Vader here is a bit on the outside looking in. He's not necessarily as entrenched in the culture as we are. So what do you think about all this stuff? Like, who would you, you know, what do you think about Chris Evans and how do you think about other actors in mind for somebody like Captain America?
I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed they didn't go with Joe Jonas, to be honest with you. No, I'm just kidding. I kind of liked to see old Jim Halpert. I might like to see him do the... do the role. I think it'd be interesting. John Hamm, now that you mention it, I hadn't heard that, but I really like that. As far as Chris Evans goes, you know, I'm kind of like with you guys. I can see
it. You can live with it?
Yeah, I can live with it, but I don't know. It remains to be seen, you know?
Yeah, just that. It feels like the runner-up choice that you took to prom. Right. It's not. You're like,
ouch.
No, but that's the thing. That's the thing. Everybody.
I never went to prom.
Everybody had their. Everybody had their first choice. Everybody had what they had. You know,
in their own mind.
In their own mind, who they wanted to play Captain America. Everyone had their number one choice. Chris Evans wasn't on any of them. Okay, none of them. But when he was cast, like you said, okay.
Or potentially cast, whatever.
Yeah,
when the role was thrown out.
Everyone, you know, then all of a sudden it's like. Okay, you know, sure.
Yeah.
I'll take him to prom.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So yeah, he definitely is the runner-up. But no one's... very few people are really coming out and
I love the choice of John Hamm. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. No.
I just hate the fact that they Joe Johnson set out, I'm going to find an unknown for this.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they went from the very beginning. They started off on that road of finding the unknown.
I liked it. And towards the end, like they just toss all the unknowns to the side and they're just like, all right, let's focus on...
Here's Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, Dane Cook, Brian Phillippe. I think what happened is they went through the people who probably looked right for the role of Captain America, who had the physical attributes. And I think they were just not... impressed with the screen test. They didn't feel that they had a person who had the presence of Captain America.
That's a big deal. Like, it's a big decision on Marvel's part to, especially for potentially 9 films. Yeah. Like, I understand.
I have a hard time even conceiving of an actor who could do it. I can conceive of people who might have the right performance or the right look, but not the same meaning.
He's bumping his fist together, by the way.
Yeah. It's kind of like the situation where you had with casting Superman.
Yeah.
You have to have the acting, but the look is so important to the character that it just seems like this impossible casting situation.
I don't know. This whole Captain America thing, I mean, it's turned so many people off already to situation. The whole, like, the online movie community is just, like, fed up with what's been going on because of, exactly like you said, like, why on earth would you come out and say... okay, we're gonna cast an unknown and then start throwing out names like Ryan Phillippe like a week later. You know, like, it just doesn't... I don't know. This is hands down the most, like, ridiculous casting situation we've seen in probably 3 years or something. I can't even remember the last one. I just don't want to go overboard and say, like, 10 years, 15 years. But, like, I don't know. I'm sure there was something
a
while back.
They are set for a shoot date.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be one of those situations where, like, on X-Men, where they just suddenly come out with Hugh Jackman-type casting, or just so perfect.
Yeah.
And he was a replacement for Scott Duggery.
Oh, yeah, Duggery Scott, yeah.
Duggery Scott, there you go.
That's right.
Who is finishing up Mission Impossible 2.
Right. Sure, you and can. That launched Hugh Jackman's career. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you can't, I mean, I don't know. It's all a timing issue, really. Yeah. And we're just going to have to wait and see what they're
doing. It's pretty much going to boil down to this. No matter who we get cast with, I mean, I'll be honest, I was not on board with Heath Ledger as the Joker until I saw a trailer with his performance in it, and then I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm on. But I don't think we're not going to be on board until we, even if we see a poster and we go, yeah, he looks about right.
Right.
I think we're not going to see it until there is a trailer.
Actual footage, yeah.
And we go, that is Captain America.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So we got a long way to wait before we're sold on Chris Evans being Captain America.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, Marvel feels like throwing something out there soon.
So you're saying our Photoshop picture of him doesn't sell you guys?
Well, no.
So cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll take it if he can make it work schedule-wise. But if he doesn't, it should be interesting to see who Marvel has lined up for their second choice.
Okay, real quick before we like end this little feature, let's do a dream casting. If you had anybody, regardless of their current schedules or whatever, like who would you like to see? And let's just go around the circle and everybody throw out a name.
Tom Cruise.
I don't know the actor's name.
I'm joking.
You've never seen me very upset.
I don't know the actor's name, but he plays Captain Awesome. In Chuck.
Oh, he was up there. Oh,
I know he was auditioned or screen tested, but he looks like Captain America, and he just has that kind of like, he has that military vibe and kind of, you go, that guy's Captain America. I don't know if he has quite the ability to have the gravity for it, because he's on a show like Chuck, to be able to show it, but I think just based on looks, I think would be right.
Yeah, I'd say Jon Hamm with some Curious Case of Benjamin Button things for him before he transforms.
Okay.
That'd be my bet.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. All right.
I say Val Kilmer circa, like, 1986, like, Top Gun era. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
I'm just going to go, I'm going to agree with Jon Hamm. I think he'd be perfect for the role. You don't have to necessarily do the Benjamin
Which
Button,
is funny
so.
Because we wanted Jon Hamm for Green Lantern.
Yeah, that's funny. I wanted Nathan Fillion for Green Lantern.
Nathan Fillion would have been awesome, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have been good.
What about you, Eggman? What's your...
I was sold on John Krasinski.
Okay.
I was 100% sold on
him. I like him, too. I just don't buy him physically.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Sure, but they just have to work out.
Yeah, but you could work out... He could work out a lot, and I don't know if I would. I still don't know.
Then Jim Halpert would be jacked on the office.
I know. That would
they
be...
should just play it into the whole...
Yeah, they're serious.
They just have to ride it in.
Nice.
Started working out.
Okay, a game that came out recently, March 16th, was God of War 3.
In the beginning, there was chaos. Our victory brought order to the land, prosperity to mankind. Now, that order is threatened. The sacred halls of Olympus have been breached. Brothers, in the end, he will suffer. In the end, we will triumph. In the end, there will be only chaos.
Now, I've played the first two. Have you?
I played the first two as well, yeah.
Anyone else?
I have watched you play the first two.
And I have no experience with the game whatsoever. So.
Okay, so this should be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm a little disappointed that you played the game without letting me watch. Very disappointed.
Watch the first two? Why can't you watch and play the third one?
It's got a really good story to it. It fits in with the usual, all the Greek mythology. They've obviously changed stuff for a video game. And funny enough, I think there was a part in the video game where I go, wait, I'm in a labyrinth again? but it is their first God of War with the full HD graphics and just the increased resolution. You get all the loveliness of God of War, but with just a lot more detail. The gameplay mechanics are all the same. The controls have so many combinations and stuff mapped into it, but it's done in such an an intricate way. I just remember at the end I was fighting and I was switching between all four of the weapons plus all three of the abilities, and then I don't know how, but you could you just know the combos because there's only really two buttons to hit for a combo, and I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, that was one thing I was gonna kind of ask you about, because I'd only played the first two for the PS2, so I was just wondering like how they did well with the HD and everything.
Yeah, you'd feel like the gameplay would be dated, but I think it just does things so very well.
And so many people have tried to copy what it does.
Okay, so, I mean, you have some knockoffs like Dante's Inferno and some other that try to basically replicate the weapon on chain whipping things around type of gameplay.
Movie Ninja Assassin, straight ripoff.
Yeah. I think one of the weaknesses for me from, like, the first game that they didn't do too much in the second game, which is platforming controls, are unbelievably frustrating.
Really?
Because you have a jump, and then you have, like, a double jump, and then you have, if you hold, you have a glide, and then later on you have this, like, boost thing. And there's so many ways to get around that it's weird that to just fall off an edge just suddenly, when there's so many times that there's an invisible wall on everything that you don't think about the edge anymore, because you run up against the edge while you're fighting and you're rolling around and stuff.
So that's probably the more ways you die, is falling off something instead of dying. Actually from getting killed,
yeah.
Yeah, I died more times that way, just from difficulties in platforming. But I love the whole puzzle mechanics of it. I mean, it's still... It's still challenging, but not impossible. The story, I mean, pretty much Kratos just runs... Anything he runs into or anyone he meets, he needs to kill them for some reason.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, it's good that they give them a reason, at least.
And sometimes the reason is because he wants to kill them.
Okay, well, I took that back then.
Kratos is in a shopping mall. He needs to buy some pants at Gap. I need to kill this dude.
Yeah, like, thank you for helping me buy my chinos. I am going to kill you.
Pretzel Wessels guy, you're going to die.
So what about the ending? I know before we recorded...
Okay, so the ending, there's an ending, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it gets the graphics change and becomes this interestingly different looking Kratos, and the whole thing changes. And you're like, this is bizarre. This is like, someone was like, I want them to feel like you're on drugs. And that's kind of what you're in. And
it's like a What Dreams May Come type of thing.
Not
like
quite, but it's not that.
You're saying What Dreams May Come or Wet Dreams May Come?
Good lord.
Moving on.
Different spelling for it.
Moving on indeed.
Moving on. The ending for me, it was kind of weird because it felt like they were making it open but not, and they were making it final but not.
Well, it's a successful franchise, right? Like, do you think they'll stop at 3, or do you think
Well, something they kind of allude to, like, once in this game, and they've alluded to it in the first God of War, and they may have done it in the second, is that Kratos has a sibling.
Oh. Kratos.
Okay.
And Kratos obviously being, like, you know, we find out in the second one, he's the son of Zeus, or one of them. But it seems like his brother is probably not half. His father's not Zeus.
Yeah,
it'd be like the Halo ODST to the Halo.
Yeah, and they also allude to some stuff with his mother and stuff like that, but they don't resolve any of it. But there is kind of an ending for Kratos.
So that could just be kind of like painting pictures of this backstory and stuff, or that could be maybe a setup for a future game.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Kratos has died before, and he kind of keeps coming back. So, I mean, an ending in that way doesn't seem like an ending. An ending where he's happy is not necessarily an ending. Anything ending with Kratos doesn't seem like it's really that finished.
He's not having an easy go.
No. I mean, the whole trippy thing that I'm talking about kind of seems like it makes it final. But the way, I mean, after the credits, there was just kind of this pan and move, and you're just kind of like, you know, basically every time he killed one of the gods, it just made things worse and worse for mankind. And it kind of just left it there. So I mean, it feels like they spent all this time bringing God of War into HD, it seems like they would probably make a fourth one. I don't know what the storyline would be, though.
Right.
Well, I was going to say, the story itself is already so enthralling.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've never played a minute of God of War yet. I know the story so well watching you play.
Yeah.
It's like one of the few games where you can be entertained while watching someone play.
You're just tapping your foot, waiting to jump in. Or stuff like that.
It's like even Halo.
Halo or Call of Duty, I'm like, get really dizzy watching other people play that. Or even something like Mass Effect, where it's all story. You're like, why would you choose that? You know, you're like, why would you choose that? You should do something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a fun game from what I've seen.
It would make a great film. It feels like this is, like, kind of the ending to, like, say, Pirates, where it's, like, it's open, but it's not, but it's the ending.
Yeah.
And it feels like if they do a fourth one, it seems like you might have to shed off Kratos and maybe some other things and kind of have a different story or something.
That'd be cool,
but maybe
though.
They could.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know what way they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. But the game is so good. There are moments because, if you've seen the trailer for the game, you are fighting on Titans. You're fighting things on Titans. I don't think it's a spoil. I mean, pretty much Kratos starts to piss people off, so he fights Titans. He fights this, he fights that. And then there's all these sequences, and it's really fun. Something that they do extremely well that God of War started... they did very well that people started copying was the QuickTime event. Of, you know, that you gotta press one of the shoulder buttons and then the X button and then, you know, those types of things. They do it, they show why
they are
the best at it in this game. Because it doesn't pull you out of the game and it doesn't pull you out of the act. Because some of these games, they have it like right there, and it pulls you right out of what you're seeing on screen.
Slash doesn't feel like you're doing shit.
Yeah, and this one it feels like because all the buttons you're pressing are contextual to things that you're normally doing.
Right.
So it feels really connected.
Cool.
You want to do Dreamcasting of Kratos if they make that movie?
Dreamcasting of Kratos. I say just do it.
Mocap.
Do it. Yeah, do it the way you would do Avatar. I think the look of Kratos is. Yeah, I mean, you could probably find some actor to do it.
Some WWE star.
Yeah, but I think the voice of Kratos is such a big part of his character that you couldn't quite remove. It's kind of like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
It's the face and the voice are connected into who it is. I mean, you could cast your Vin Diesel or whatever. I wouldn't, but I'm just saying you could do that, and it wouldn't feel like...
It'd be some big-ass... Greek or Persian dude.
I'd say Val Kilmer, circa 1986. Top Gun.
John Hamm, man. Kratos, where, you know, Val Kilmer where he starts, but where the character ends up. gotta be John Hamm.
Yeah, so if you play the first, second one, definitely play it. Now, something that's out is God of War Collection, which is the first two games in HD.
Nice.
And it looks really good. I think they pretty much just took the assets from the third game and just put them in the second one because it looks really, really good. It's funny because I watched a review on it and some of the cutscenes are not redone and they're just in low res and it just looks so...
Oh, yeah.
It looks so bad. It looks really bad.
Yeah.
Because the game actually looks better than the cutscenes of the previous... Which is pretty funny. But the gameplay has not changed. When I think about the first and second game, there's still some puzzles in there. I'm like, that was pretty challenging.
Yeah. I can remember getting lost a few times in the second game, like, what the hell do I do here?
Yeah.
But maybe that's because I'm like a bonehead gamer, so.
Cool, so yeah, definitely a recommend for anyone who's played the first two, and I would recommend the collection for those who want to get into the story of the third one. Because there's definitely a story you want to follow.
All right, some other geek news is that George Lucas is looking to, you know, we already have the Clone Wars, which is kind of targeting, 10 to 14-year-olds.
Cartoon Network people,
And that's pretty good, but Lucas is aiming even younger. You know, he's aiming for preschoolers here with a new TV show that Lucasfilm is developing.
This is another animated series?
Yeah, it's based off, I think, just basically the look of the Star Wars Galactic Heroes toys, like the really out of proportion, like Darth Vader, Stormtrooper guys. But the working title is called Squishies. Which I don't know how they're going to work that in. Star Wars
colon squishies or just the word squishies?
Squishies, man.
Because how is that related to Star Wars?
No idea. Way? Maybe it's just one of those
maybe
code
it's,
name
it's
titles.
Like Wookiees, but yeah. Squishy.
It's just weird, but yeah, I remember like the Marvel stuff. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name of it for right now, but like the Marvel like kid stuff, it's just so hard to even look at.
Yeah,
that you're just like,
what? It's really bad. Well, yeah,
I mean, it all just seems like a money making scheme.
Yeah, the Silver Surfer. It sounds like a surfer, and I think Thor just it was really confusing. I think I was watching some of it, and I was just trying to see like I was completely confused by what was going on. I was watching it, and Thor was talking to Odin, and Odin was going to make him leave, and then he made some choice. And I was like, and it was like, it was really, really cheesy. But it, I mean, kids have got to love.
But it's kind of weird because you're
cheaply like, animated as well.
Yeah, like, well, why water it down that much? Like, I remember watching the X-Men series when I was a kid.
Oh yeah,
and
I love that series.
Yeah, as much as unbloody or whatever it is,
right.
it stayed pretty true to. So a lot of the different storylines happening all at once. There's a lot of layers and the different character arcs that they went
yeah.
through. Like it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean they had like 6-part series like
yeah.
where you know different events would go through and you would have to catch up with them and know what's going on, which is a lot of that's what you're saying. It's a
lot
of
to
work
ask for
to,
from
yeah.
an 8-year-old.
Right.
We did it.
Yay, us. This sounds like an awful idea, I think. George Lucas, man, like get over yourself. Move on. He's just so...
It's going to be on Nick Kids or something, and it's going to be... We're never going to see this stuff.
No, I know, but just
in the same
just
way
the
we don't accidentally run into Blue's Clues.
Right. No, that's understandable. And, like, yeah, I get it's for kids and stuff, but, like, at the same time, like... just Lucas.
I feel like if they'd want to do it, do different characters from the Star Wars universe so that
yeah.
when they watch Star Wars, they're not completely confused
yeah.
by why Darth Vader is suddenly evil.
Yeah, or like why he...
Wait, Darth Vader, he taught me how to count. Now he's cutting off Luke's hand?
I am so...
Luke is a bastard child?
I am confused.
A.
Emotionally.
B.
Yeah.
C. D
is for Darth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, have you seen? There's actually a Sesame Street.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. Count. It's like a really old, like 1970s, 1960s.
Yeah,
I guess 1970s. It can't be 1960s. But like of him on Sesame Street
counting. And it's so creepy.
Yeah, 1, 2.
He's got that
3.
Voice.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do the voice for the animated.
And how
series.
Creepy would that be if you're like your kid watched that Sesame Street and just like, hey daddy, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So I guess like final thoughts, Star Wars squishies or excuse me,
squishies.
Probably just a bad call all around.
You know, when is the TV show coming? The live action one.
Yeah, the one that we've been hearing about for 5 years now, or maybe longer. Who knows?
Yeah, there's just so much to explore with.
I think they're just trying to
universe.
Find a way to get the production cost down. It's probably
yeah.
Yeah, that's what.
I mean, the thing is now with a lot of these primetime shows, there is enough money there to do something, but just not. Not on the same level as the films,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, if they could even do it 300 style, I feel like. Because 300, for being very stylized, had a bit of a... I mean, it had a unique look at the time. So
yeah.
if you take something like that and film the entire Star Wars live-action series on a green screen, and that way, you know, Lucas and the people at ILM can just, like, digitally insert... You know, their same. You know, it's going to be Lucasfilm and those people working on this and
yeah.
Skywalker and like,
I think
all these
it's
people
gonna
working
be
on
more. As far as the production cost, it's probably going to be somewhere in the area of what you've seen on like the Stargate series, because that's kind of the size of the audience for this type of material on TV.
Really,
I think so.
I think a lot more people would watch a Star Wars live action show than would watch Stargate. Like Stargate's very very like niche audience, and Star Wars is a freaking
You think Battlestar or Stargate?
Well,
even both. Like both. Star Wars would have such a bigger audience than both of those, I think. And like, because like people who've never seen Battlestar or whatever, like everybody's seen Star Wars, you know? Like yeah. and even people, older people would probably, maybe outside of the demographic even, would tune in to see a live-action Star Wars, like, just to recapture their youth or whatever, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think they have a potential to get a lot of people to watch it, as far as a potential to make a good show out of it. That's a different story, but...
I think it should just take place on a show. I forgot. I think the story details were released a while back, but...
I forgot
what I don't, it was. Yeah, I don't know why it just doesn't take place on a ship, basically...
Yeah, like all Star Trek and Firefly in the Star Wars universe. That'd be kind of cool. Alright, so that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us this week. We've got stuff that's coming up on Friday, March 26th. The releases, we've got Chloe, which is... actually, Chloe, Hot Tub Time Machine, and How to Train Your Dragon. All three movies we reviewed in last week's podcast. So we'll throw a link to that in the post. If you're listening to this via iTunes, you can go search for it on geektower.com and take a look at last week's episode to hear reviews for all three of those. Also next week is Waking Sleeping Beauty, which is the Disney documentary. It's opening in limited release. It's a documentary about kind of the golden age of Disney animation from, or like the rebirth, I guess, or whatever, from like the late 80s through... the mid-90s or something along those lines. I'm not sure the exact years,
Where they went from really, they went so low budget, and then all of a sudden they rebirthed with like Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King.
And it's like a no holds barred look into the world of Disney animation and things like that. It looks really interesting. So if you're in an area where you can check that out, I would recommend it. I think I'm going to take my own advice since I'm living in Los Angeles and it's going to be opening here and check that out. So hopefully maybe next week we can talk about that if we get a chance to check it out. Otherwise, keep your eyes on geektyrant.com for all the new movie news and TV news, things of that sort, cool stuff that you want to see, because that's what we're giving to you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.